Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan
Braden Holtby.
Hello and welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. I am your host, the Blue Liner on Point, and with me is my self-proclaimed hot co-host. let's not lie, she is hot. If you've seen her on Instagram, you know what I'm talking about.
The filters are my friend. The filters, I tell you. Because I don't look anything like that in person. It's all good. Filters make me look good. But yes, I'm here. Mm-hmm. I'm in Centerville, and I am on spring break.
And that, of course, is the voice of our mermaid mentalist, Anna Knox.
cheers.
My co-host since the beginning of this season. Okay, so we're here to talk Caps hockey. So let's go ahead and get into it for this episode of the Triple P. Okay, so it's been bit of a crazy week of hockey.
Can I go back for a sec?
Sure.
I kind of like the Triple P. It's a lot easier to say than Power Play Point Podcast.
We'll just go with it. I mean, we won't say it all the time, but yeah, that's okay. Yeah, I can see that.
That's it.
Okay.
All right, go on.
That works for
all
me.
Right.
All right, so let's begin with the game in Dallas last Tuesday. It's a 4-3 win. Okay, so this one went into my app's going crazy on me. Okay, so this one looked like it was going to go into overtime until John Carlson gets his 15th late in the third with a slapper that puts the game away, and you could kind of feel the air blowing out of the sails of the Stars because they were winding up a long road trip. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, finally, you take advantage of a team that has, expent a lot of energy. So that was a good one, but it was kind of getting out of hand at points because, I mean, they gave up the first goal, and then they jumped out to a 2-1 lead. Then the Stars tied it again. Ovechkin got his 44th for the go-ahead. Then Jamie Benn ties it again. So every time it looked like the Caps were going to take the game, they fell back. So that's one game. Hoo boy. Then we move on to the Detroit game, which, I don't know about you.
Snooze fest.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Just awful to watch and awful to listen to. I mean, that was the consensus from any Caps fan. That I don't know who that guy was that was doing the announcing, but oh my God, was he terrible.
Yeah. It was just a boring game. Just boring. It's something that we should have had. I'm not saying we could go in and annihilate the Wings, but you know what? It wasn't pretty at all. So yeah, the fact that it was a 1-0 and it wasn't until the third period that we scored, come on, not good.
And as always, a telling stat, 39 shots for Detroit, 26 for the good guys. So mm-hmm. Philip Grubauer earned his shutout.
Yeah, he did.
Got the shutout the old-fashioned way. He earned it, stopping all 39. Can't remember if that's his third. I think that's his third or fourth shutout this year.
I think it might have been his. Yeah, it might have been his fourth.
Yeah, but yeah, awful, awful game to watch. Power play wasn't clicking. Nothing was clicking. But yeah, lucky that Connolly got that goal, assisted by Jake Vrana.
Yeah.
Otherwise, yeah, who knows? But yeah, awful game to watch. And then you have this past Saturday night's game in Montreal, where the Caps jumped out to a 6-2 lead, a 6-1 lead at one point, after giving up the first goal and then having another goal against them overturned by replay. Guess who came back into the lineup and scored the equalizer? Evgeny Kuznetsov with his 22nd.
So glad.
So glad, yes. And on top of that,
my boy Tommy.
With a pair.
Quite the pair.
And
yes.
Boy did he come and bring his pair.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Most definitely.
It's about time. And we were talking about that, I think, the last couple of shows. I needed to see him less penalty minutes, more, you know, at least shots on goals, do something. But I needed this, and I needed him to get his get that mojo back, and he did with two, and they were great goals too. So it was great to see.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely great to see. The team was, and it says something when Ovechkin doesn't have to score, and the rest of the team is firing all cylinders. But that was good. That was good to see. But the wheels started to come off a little bit towards the end. They gave up two late goals in the third, and the Habs were storming towards the end. They pulled their goalie, and it looked like they might pull it within one, but they just couldn't get it going. So it was a great start, great middle, but kind of an ugly finish. So that kind of segues into the theme of what my concern is for this week, or at least based on these past games, is that while the Caps are getting it done, it's definitely a case of winning ugly. It's a concern, I guess, on one side of it. Well, we talked about this before. I can already sense you're taking the opposite point. But for you, it doesn't matter. But for me, yeah, it does matter, because bad habits tend to carry over in the playoffs. But I know you already disagree.
I do disagree. I said this time last week when we were going in that if they could get a win with the Stars, which is a tough team to play, by the way. I mean, even the way the first period started, and you already have Tyler Seguin scoring. All right, they didn't let that set the pace of the game, because that kid is just going to keep going. He's damn good. However, we got the win. We kept it going. That Detroit game was a total abomination. It was so freaking boring. But they won, and then they won again. And so I feel like a win is a win is a win at this point. And I don't, you know, whether it looks ugly or not, they did get it done. And they didn't have Kuzi in the beginning of the games, and that's a huge thing. And now he's back, and thank God, because I didn't think his injury was that bad. I know you and Mrs. Blue Liner were concerned he was going to be out for, you know, a lot longer. I wasn't as concerned, but I think, you know, obviously he came back and scored against the Habs, which was great. But for me, I'm okay with it. You know, they had Holtby in, and that's probably what we need to talk about too. It's like, yes, it was a win against Dallas with him. I still don't see him as 100%.
Yeah, but like I said, you have a point, yes, but we're too close to the playoffs to have the team still not able to put together any sort of consistent 60-minute effort.
But see, I completely disagree, because you didn't have Kuznetsov in the first two games. He wasn't there. He's a key component to the team. And like you just said, here we are at the Habs game. They've got a high score of 6 points. Ovechkin's not in that because they didn't need to rely on him. That's what I'm talking about. That's what they need to do, is not have, you know, bank on all of their wins because he's going to score. You know, you're all, you know, yay TJ Oshie, and he looks like he's doing great. I still think he's hesitating. Scored in the Dallas game, and not much in those last two games. assists, but not points, you know, him scoring. So I think that the team is trying to figure out when some of their key players are not 100%, you're Braden Holtby, and you got Grubauer in, and he's kicking ass. Travis Boyd, you know, young kid, stepped up, you know, did what he was supposed to do. It wasn't anything phenomenal, but it wasn't a disaster. Tom Wilson, you know, stepped up his game. And there wasn't, you know, Ovechkin scored in the last three games. Yes, but not the last one. So we didn't have to rely on him 100%. And that's why I think that it's a good thing. A win's a win. And the team is showing that they don't need to rely 100% on their top players for a win.
Okay, well, I get that. But go back to the Detroit game and how much of an abomination that was. And I don't know. I gotta see the replay again. So I don't know how much luck factored into the goal, but we were kind of lucky that Connolly did score when he did score, because otherwise, yeah, like you said, like we both said, Ovechkin, you know, didn't step up and get one in, but like you're saying, next man up. Well, where was that next man? Didn't see them until almost halfway through the third. Okay, all right, so it wasn't luck. They got a two on none. They had to get a two on none to get a goal. So, I mean, all I'm saying is, where was that the previous 40-plus minutes before that?
I agree. The Detroit game sucked. But I thought that the way they played against the Stars and the way they played against the Habs, they looked good. So, you know, a 2 out of 3, they looked consistent, and other, you know, people were stepping up. It was great to, like, I've been, since the beginning, a big supporter of John Carlson. And he keeps proving exactly my point. He is just, he's just had an amazing season. And I love to see it. And Connolly had a great, you know, scoring ride there in the beginning, went a little dry, and he came back good. You know, I'd like the things I want to see, and I don't want it just to be all Ovechkin. And I know and you're not saying that, but I'd like to see other names out there, because that's the whole point. You're on a team. And yes, they should have stepped up more in that Detroit game, but they still scored, and they still won the game. And then put that one to rest. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
I get all that, but my point that I'm trying to make is, it should not come down to one player bailing them out. If they are indeed going to play as a team, they need to play better as a team. They need to not give up 39 shots and rely on Grubauer to bail them out. They need to not blow a lead when they have it, like they did against Dallas. They need to not forget that they're playing like they did the last 17 minutes of period 3 against Montreal. That's the stuff I'm talking about. That's the stuff that concerns me. And all it takes is, with apologies to Pink Floyd, a momentary lapse of reason, or really concentration, in the playoffs. Next thing you know, a game you should have won, you've lost. That's my concern. That's my main concern.
Okay.
And that's, I mean, that's why it's these bad habits that keep cropping up that worry me. And, I mean, the playoffs are just so condensed. They can turn on a dime that, you know, anything can happen so quickly, as we've seen. And yeah, that's really all I'm trying to say, is that they need to weed out these bad habits now, get into that groove where, you're never, ever going to be perfect, but you should strive to be as close to perfect as you can, instead of hoping one guy will bail you out. Not to try and get on your good side, but in Montreal, that one guy for a while was Tom Wilson.
Right. You can get on my good side. Only going to benefit you.
He almost had a hat trick. He was inches away from a hat trick.
That's what I want. Like, I hope he ends his season with at least one. I mean, he just looked so damn good, and he was everywhere.
I
think he's going to keep doing it.
I want him to start parking his butt in front of the opposing goalie and just knocking people down and chase that puck down in front of the net. That's what I want to see him do come playoff time.
Yeah.
We know he's got a shot, but when he puts that big body in front of the opposing goaltender, and damned if anybody tries to move him, good luck. All right. Look at me singing his praises, but still, that is classic playoff hockey.
And I think he'll do it.
I think he'll bring it. And I want to see it.
Yeah. I think he has proven himself this year that he's not just, he's up there with the many, with the minutes and the penalty box. But you know what? I'm okay with it, and I think some of the calls were total and, you know, there seems to be a lot of anti-Tom Wilson out there. But I think he's going to step it up, absolutely, and drop the gloves, absolutely. I mean, he refrained from some fights in the last couple of weeks that I was impressed with, and I think he's showing that he's growing up a little bit, but I think he's going to be ready to take somebody on. Who knows? Maybe at the Rangers game.
Okay, so yeah.
Just because he's Tom. But I know that has something to do with what we were just talking about. But
I get that. But that's just right. He's just one example. And to your point, yes, he's just one example of several of relying on the one guy. But instead of relying on, and it's great that he's one of those guys.
Right.
That's great. But again, I would rather see the whole team play together, all 200 feet of the ice for 60 full minutes, and I'm not seeing it, and that's a concern.
You and I just not gonna agree on that.
Well, I mean, that's what gets you wins, and as the old saying goes, defense wins championships, and if you don't concentrate on your own end all 60 minutes of the game, you're flirting with disaster as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, it's nice that we have these guys that can bail them out, but
that's not what I'm saying, though. I'm actually saying the complete opposite of that. What I'm saying is this last week, we've had Kuzi out, and then we had Holtby still not 100%, possible injury, not really sure what's going on there. And the people who we brought up to, you know, we had to change the lines a little bit or change goaltending a little bit, did exactly what they were supposed to do. So to me, that is being a team. That is doing things rather than saying, God, if we don't have number 92, how, you know, this whole line's going to be shot. We're not going to be able to do it. We're probably going to lose because we don't have Kuzi. No, he wasn't there. They brought in somebody else, you know, like they're supposed to. Same thing. Grubauer steps up because Holpe's not given 100%. Oshie's not anywhere near he was the last year or so, but other people are stepping up. So it's not us relying on one or two players to save the game, like the Ovechkins, or relying on Tommy to drop the gloves. I feel like they're all stepping up. Unfortunately, yeah, Detroit was not for Detroit. I'll be totally honest, I didn't even sit through the whole game because I think I watched the first period and was like, this is boring. And then came back like in the third period and was like, still 0-0. Let's go. Like, come on now. But we still won. So I'm leaving it at that.
Okay, I get that. I agree with most of that, but again, my problem is at this time of year, you wanna start peaking and you wanna. Okay, I know you cannot stand it, or you look at me all cockeyed when I rhyme, but I'm gonna make something up here real quick. All right. The Caps should be peaking not eking, as in eking out a win. That's what they did those first two games. And they almost, I mean, if you think about it, they almost gave away the Montreal game, too, had they not built up such a big lead. So I say peaking, not eking, at this time of year. The playoffs are in 2 weeks. You need to start playing your best because you're going to start going up against the best.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
I'll let your rhyme go.
You still don't forgive me for muscle to the hustle.
No. No, there's been a couple that I'm, yeah, the muscle to the, that was.
That was a compliment to your boy Tommy, though.
No.
Yes, it was.
Oh, I remember you saying it, but I don't see how that is a compliment.
Carol liked it.
Well, so? Did he actually say, you know what, Gil? That muscle comment was awesome. No. He might have chuckled. I would say he chuckled because probably he was like, dumb. Or done. I don't know.
All right, well, go ask him then. Go ask him.
I will. I will personally ask him what is his opinion on, quote, muscle to the hustle when talking about Tom Wilson.
Okay, you do that.
Okay, I will. And I'll do it live.
Okay.
Just
well,
kidding.
All right. Well, okay. So I want to point out something else. So this is, it's not always the most telling stat, but you look at the Caps plus minus figures against the Canadiens. Some of the good. Chandler Stephenson, plus one. Nick Backstrom, plus two. Burakovsky was a plus three. He had a decent game, even though I don't really know. I don't think he made it onto the score. Yes, he did. Oh, yes, he did. He got two goals and two assists. He had a hell of he had a hell of a game.
Burakovsky?
No. You're right. Two assists. Two assists and 2 points.
Yeah. I'm looking off there.
Looking at the wrong column. But he still had a pretty good game.
He did have a good game. We haven't talked about him in a week or two.
I hope that's previews of coming attractions, but still, he was the only one. You figure they built up that great lead. He's the only one that hit plus three. Most of the rest of the team were even. A couple of bad marks here.
But what about Backstrom?
Backstrom, I said, was a plus two.
Oh, sorry. I didn't hear you say that. Okay.
Yeah, and he got 4 assists.
Yeah, and, that was awesome.
Yeah, and as I mentioned in our Facebook room, I love what Tommy did, but four of a kind always beats a pair.
Yes.
Yes, it does.
Yes.
But Jake Vrana, minus three.
Yeah.
That
wasn't good.
That can't be. That's got to be better. Dmitry Orlov, minus one. That's got to be better.
Yeah, I kind of need to see more from him.
Yeah. And
I think I've gotten to the point with Orlov that I feel like he's like, you know, flat, just, you know, going through the game.
Going
and
through
then
the motion.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Does some like one amazing thing, and then we're back to being flat again.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like he started off this season sort of, I'm like you, don't like you, can't quite get a feel. Then he had some great games. And I feel like he needs to get back to that. Yes, Vrana needs to step up. I'm liking 65. I need him to stay consistent and keep going.
Yeah, but he looks like Burakovsky looks like he's starting to get his confidence back. And this,
I think so too.
This is a great time for that.
Yeah.
If he can keep that up and ride that into the playoffs, that even if we get like what was it last year or 2 years ago. I think it was last year where he had that great game when he was on that top line. Mm-hmm. If he can do that, say, 2 or 3 times in the playoffs.
Right.
Yeah. Might be able to do some damage.
Well, and please tell me that you saw the darts tournament between the team in New York.
I heard about it. I didn't.
I want that hat. So they all were wearing hats, and it's like a picture of Andre on it with a dart sticking out of his neck.
God.
And And it is, you know, a spoof off of Will Ferrell in Old School. You know, like, and that's just is one of the best movies, and that part is hilarious. So whoever came up with that was brilliant. And so the picture I saw was of Ovechkin and Vrana, and they each had their hats on, and I thought, you know what, there's a good pair. Like, there's a good mentor towards my number 13 that I'm going to pull for. You know, someone that's going to maybe keep him a little grounded and then also get his confidence up. Because I thought he always skates quick and hard, but I felt like he was a little bit tougher on the ice the last couple of games, which is good.
And he's going to need that come playoff time because he's going to be in certain situations where he's going to have to make room for himself, either with his quickness or if not with his quickness, then he's just going to have to gut it out. And
yeah,
that's been a problem for him in the past. So
right, but not as bad as I feel like other players. Like I feel like there's other players that have been a little bit more timid on the you know, challenging, you know, physically going after it with somebody else. I feel like last couple of games I've seen a little more toughness in him, and I think it's probably going to take, you know, that one game where he gets into a fight just to be like, all right, there. You know, there's your V card. I'm fighting in an NHL game. Now move forward and keep going. And we'll see. But I'm pulling for him. But that hat was awesome, and I'd love to get a hold of one.
Post it on your IG page. And,
right.
And then link it to the Facebook page.
Yeah.
Just to give everybody an idea. It might be a nice little spring break present. I don't know.
Oh, a belated birthday present?
Something like that. Can I jump in here and give some love to a guy that we have not talked about a whole lot, but I think in his own quiet way has been a difference maker since he was acquired about a month or so ago. And that's Michael Kempney. He has fit into the decor like a hand in a silk glove. And he... What?
Have you ever worn a silk glove?
Actually, yes.
Why?
Why not?
Why would you ever be in a situation where you would need to wear a silk glove?
I've dressed up before.
Silk glove.
I've been told I clean up nice.
Well, I would be distracted with the silk gloves because I would be like, what the hell are you wearing this? Were they white? They were white, weren't they?
Yeah.
God. Anyways.
Well, okay, so I did theater for a while. Reveal to myself. Okay.
Just stop.
Fine, we'll stop.
We've talked about my list of things that... Yeah.
Anyway, Kempney. Has been a great fit for this team, and I don't know that he's going to be this all-world difference maker that everybody's hoping for, but I think he's brought a little bit more stability to the defense corps. Now, unfortunately, it's come at the expense of playing time for both Madison Bowie and Christian Juice, but I think it was Craig Laughlin who said this. Don't worry about those two. They're young. They will get their playing time eventually.
Mm-hmm.
They are still developing, so no need to worry.
Yeah.
No need to worry about them at all. I think Kempney's a keeper, though, and I don't know. I'd have to go to Cap Friendly and look up his contract status, but he's 27,
mm-hmm.
and I hope they at least keep him around for a couple of years to act as a bridge, because we got some good young D coming up.
Right.
And he will be, I'm hoping and praying, Brooks Orpik will one day be on his way out.
Right.
So with him leaving and the kids needing some time, hopefully he'll be something of a stable presence, I would think.
Right.
To help the kids develop. And so that's why I kind of hope they keep him around.
I think so, too. I've actually I've actually been surprised at how easily he came in and transitioned, because like you said,
hand in a silk glove.
No, that's not what I would say. Ever.
All right.
Never say that.
Then what would you say?
No, I'm just saying that he was able to join the team with a really great transition. It's got nothing to do with silk gloves. But I feel like I'm glad that he came in and he has meshed well with the whole team and isn't standing out as the star player or whatever, because I don't think that's what the Caps needed. I think they needed somebody who is at their level, who can play with, you know, different players, and you know, they've moved his, you know, his D-line partner around a couple of times to see, is, you know, Carlson, or is he this, you know, and he's been with Jarabek. I like it. I like him. I like, you know, the age thing works in his favor. And I agree. Bowie, adorable, absolutely adorable, but I need him to kind of, I don't know, toughen up a little bit. And Juice, to me, hasn't disappointed. I have a feeling we'll see more of him very soon. And I like Jarabek, too. I mean, he scored on the Habs game.
Yeah, heck of a shot he had.
Right?
So
it was a good call. I think we were all sort of like, who are these guys? But, I mean, at least I'll speak for myself. I was like, okay, here we go. And so good call on giving some love to those guys.
Yeah, well, it's one of those little moves.
Without the gloves.
Right. You don't think, you keep going, we're going to drop the gloves.
Oh, but see, I would have like boxing gloves and you would have white silk gloves. So I still think I might win.
Okay. So you would have those smelly things and I would bring a little class to it. So that's the difference between you and I, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Folks, we're not really mad at each other. This is all in fun. sorry to break the fourth wall there. It's one of those little tweaks that management makes. You don't think it's going to pan out great, but it provides, like I keep saying, enough stability to what was, you know, two really good defensemen, one old one who's past his prime, and a bunch of young kids, and it just wasn't working out. And so you got these journeymen in here to kind of smooth things over, and it's worked out fairly well, I think, and hopefully something else they can ride into the playoffs.
I hope so too, and I think the age thing is going to work in their favor at this time going into the playoffs, because if you've ever done a sport, any kind of sport or any, I mean, really anything that you've trained for or practiced for or auditioned for or whatever it is, when it comes down to it, you know, that last, whether it's a game, a play, a concert, whatever it is, you got to come forward and give it 100% and feel comfortable, but you're going to have nerves like crazy and be ready to, you know, puke before you get on the ice kind of thing. And I think that's where the vet players are going to be able to come in and say, okay, listen, what you're going through is completely normal. You have a huge adrenaline rush. It is amazing, but chill the fuck down. Focus on your hockey. Focus on why you are on this team and why we are where we are supposed to be. And keep going that. You know, don't worry. You know, if our first game is away, you got to shut out those fans, because they're going to do anything they can to screw you up. And that's your Holtby, Ovechkin, Backstrom players that are coming and help the, you know, my boy Brana and other, you know, younger players that may not be used to going. I mean, yes, they've been in big games in their past, but not like this. So I think it's a good balance. So yeah, I think it was a good call to have those guys come.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's kind of interesting that Kempney chose to wear number 6, which is the number that one of my all-time favorites used to wear, Calle Johansson, who was never renowned for lighting up the scoreboard, even with assists, which he tended to do sometimes. but for his, I mean, he was, I like to say this, and not many agree with me, but I think he was Nicklas Lidström before Nicklas Lidström came onto the scene. Mm-hmm. And so I think Kempney can kind of provide that kind of presence with his play. So he's going to, I think you're right, he's going to prove to be a lot valuable in that sense. Mm-hmm. So I mentioned Calle Johansson. We're going to segue again here. Someone else who considers him his favorite player, Christian Levesque, is our man on the street, sort of, at least with the True Caps fans. He happens to be, if anyone has gone to the True Caps fans Facebook room, might have noticed he's been posting some pictures of his trip to NYC. So he just happens to be there.
Yes.
Made a trip to
with
the,
his brother, I think, right?
Steven, right.
Yeah.
And
awesome.
so they're both there. They're going to take in the Rangers game in Madison Square Garden tonight, 7:30 puck drop. And so yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm sure they're going to have a lot of great pictures and reports, and so just to get this out there, come playoff time, that kind of few days before the playoffs actually start, we're going to have him on here with us to do a special playoff preview show.
Oh, good.
To kind of, you know, get kind of a state of the team as we are, and what he thinks, how they're doing now and what to look for and things like that, kind of get his take on everything. And I think one of those key games, I think, is going to be this game that he's at tonight. So he's going to get a firsthand look at the team. So the information he's going to provide from that is going to be pretty valuable.
Awesome.
Okay, so the clock on the wall is starting to tell us we're running out of time. Mrs. Blue Liner would kill me if I didn't start running some water.
I'm doing that right now.
Sorry, I'm distracted here. I'm kidding. No, in all seriousness, no, she would kill me if I did not at least mention a key move that the Caps have recently made. And I kind of have to correct myself in a discussion with her, because she pointed this out to me, and she was like, well, how the hell can they sign a guy and have him play because it's after the trade deadline? And I kind of thought about it and was like, yeah, he is a signing after the trade deadline. But who I'm talking about is Shane Gersich. And mm-hmm. and he's the kid from University of North Dakota.
He's going to kick ass.
UND, so that's, Mrs. Blue Liner's, anybody from there, she absolutely loves. But, yeah, they signed him to an entry-level contract, and I kind of thought the same thing. How is he eligible to play? Well, he is, because he's foregoing his last year of college.
Right.
And he's not in junior, so he's eligible, since he's in the college ranks. He's eligible to play right now.
And is he actually? I haven't looked. Is he going to play tonight?
Well, he's not in the lineup. He's probably not going to play tonight. They're still trying to figure out where he's going to fit. He's a forward, so
right.
And so what I heard, I think. I thought I saw Tony Olcott suggest this in True Caps or in our room, or somebody, maybe it was Bernie Deal even, but somebody suggested that he could be, at least for the next, you know, his first couple years, he could be the heir apparent to Jay Beagle.
Jay Beagle.
Yeah, so it would be kind of sad to see him go. But if they decide not to, I'm pretty sure Beagle is a free agent this year. So if they decide not to re-sign him, then he would probably be his replacement on the fourth line. Is where I'm thinking. But the article I read said, well, yeah, right now it's hard to kind of slot him because there's just so many talented forwards. So right now there's really no room for him, but. I think he's going to add extra depth come playoff time. It'd be nice to have him around.
Right. Okay. That must have. Maybe I just misread what, because I read a little blurb about him. I mean, again, a kid. But you're playing North Dakota, UND. You've got skill for sure. And so I think, I don't know why, maybe I read it as he was available to play tonight, but it doesn't mean that he's in the lineup. Maybe that's what it was.
Right. No, he's on the roster for sure. And they're talking like they want to get him playing time very soon, as in not Hershey, but with the big club.
Yeah.
They want to get him in now, but there's just, you know, there's a log jam as far as talented forward. So,
right.
You know,
Just, I mean, come on, he's a kid. He could step in for Ovechkin. What's the big deal?
Well, we'll see. We'll see. It's gonna be a waiting game. But yeah, I kind of can't wait to see what he can do, because he's got a mini highlight reel, and he's got
skill.
He's definitely got skill to burn.
Yeah, awesome. I'd like to see him and Brana together, for sure. And you know, can we just give? I know it's getting like close to my. I need to feed the masses. Moment, they're on their way in right now. The 6 goals needed by Ovechkin in the next 7 games.
It can be done.
I totally think it will be done. I kind of think he might just go 51-52, and just because he can. Like when he hit 40, and everyone's like, "Oh my god, that's amazing." He's like, "Yeah, but 50 is better." He is when he, damn. So let's hope. Let's hope tonight, you know, against the Rangers, and let's hope when they bring it back against the Rangers and then Carolina. I like to see him, you know, maybe get that. I don't know. Maybe he won't get all 6, but I definitely think it's not out of reach for him, for sure.
If he goes into the playoffs on a hot streak, that cannot hurt, for sure. Absolutely not.
Okay.
So yeah, that would be nice to see, but no, I'm not going to be disappointed if he doesn't hit 50. I won't even be disappointed if he doesn't win the Rocket Richard. But if he goes into the playoffs into a nice hot streak, yeah, that will certainly be nothing but good for this team.
Exactly.
Okay. So I think with that, we're going to wrap it up for another episode. Thanks to all our listeners from the Commonwealth of Virginia, District of Columbia, and the state of Maryland, and all around the globe for listening to Triple P once again. Anna, any final thoughts?
No. Nope.
At a loss for words for once?
I know. Like, what would I do if I ever lost my voice?
That reminds me. So once again, here we are. It is Monday.
Yeah.
Once again, so you know what that means, and that means Sports on the Hill Live.
Oh, yes.
And our roving reporter, you just heard her, will be representing our show and Caps Hockey Fandom with Carol Porter III tonight on tonight's broadcast, 7 o'clock. They air live. They'll be starting off the show, as usual, with Caps Hockey Talk. So do please give that a listen.
Yes, Robbie's on a much-needed spring break. They'll call it like a baby moon, I think is what people call it, when you're expecting in a couple of months, and it's sort of like your last little vacation before your whole life changes. So I think that's, so I'm looking forward to it. So just see Carol and I for the, I don't know for how long, probably the first half hour or so. And hopefully it'll lead into, because the puck drops at 7, is that right?
7:30.
For the Rangers game?
7:30.
Oh, 7:30. Okay, so maybe we won't be going into that. But yeah, we'll be talking same stuff and live, and they have a phone number you can call in if you want to. And, or on Facebook, you can, you know, just scroll down and say things. See, if you were doing this, and I'd be writing all those things to distract you because it's funny. But I don't look at the Facebook page, so it's not going to do you any good.
Power Play Point Podcast Facebook page already has a link posted kindly by Mr. Porter III
of a
preview for the show. So do please check that out. And, of course, the live show on Facebook Live. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up. And for me, I hope they continue winning, even if it is ugly.
Yeah.
I mean, We've already argued.
A win's a win's a win.
All
so
right.
At this point,
we've already argued that to death, but yeah. Yes, a win is a win, but I want to see better because, yeah, because this team can be better, but, you know, peaking, not eking.
You know what? You should sell that for, you know, the cherry blossoms or something. But I don't know if I'm thinking about it so much for hockey. But that's okay. You were quick to come up with a rhyme. Good for you. No sarcasm in that.
If only my teachers in real life and grade school were as encouraging as you are.
Right? I know. I just keep it real with my students. I'm like, really? Is this the best you can do? Yes, cool. So we'll watch the game tonight. We'll touch base. You'll post this hopefully tomorrow or Wednesday, and we'll go from there.
Excellent. Okay, so for Anna Knox, this is the Blue Line. I can't talk today. For Bella and Anna Knox,
right.
This is the Blue Liner on Point signing off with a reminder that if it's nacho cheese, what the hell are you doing with it? Okay, so... All right. Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
All right, go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.